This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
The Israel report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, how are you doing? Welcome to Chai FM once again.
Boker Tov, Benji, Boker Tov. Yeah, a lot to talk about today. Of course, we have a hostage release coming up that we are standing, waiting with bated breath to see how things progress today. But I thought that the listeners might be interested to hear first about the latest on the Iron Beam system. For those listeners who can't recall the Iron Beam, this is the system, the anti-missile system that Israel has been developing, which will sit alongside the Iron Dome. The Iron Dome currently is used by sending out missiles to intercept incoming missiles. And by intercepting that incoming missile, it prevents the missile from landing at its designated location. The Iron Beam will be a laser beam. Instead of sending out a missile, it will be a beam that will be projected, and it will be able to be projected to much lower altitudes than the Iron Beam is able to hit right now. It will also have a shorter range capability as well as the current sort of capability that the Iron Beam has. But The Iron Beam, however, will not be a replacement for the Iron Dome. And one or two of the little disadvantages of the Iron Beam, because it's a laser, a high-powered laser, it tends to get weaker the further away from the source the beam is. So there is a discussion about how far away, what sort of distance the beam will be able to reach before it sort of starts to run out of steam and run out of power, run out of its effectiveness. One of the other things about a beam is that it's dependent upon weather conditions. If the weather is not cooperative, the Iron Beam might not be quite as effective as, for example, the Iron Dome is, because those missiles don't care about the weather. They just go out and hit their incoming target. So there are a few interesting things that are slightly different in the Iron Beam and maybe not quite as attractive. Of course, the cost is an order of magnitude different. Every time an Iron Dome missile is sent out, it costs around $30,000. The Iron Beam will be like $13 instead of $30,000. And we hope that the Iron Beam will be deployed even later this year, 2025. And as I say, it's not going to replace the Iron Dome, but I think it's designed to sit alongside the Iron Dome and to potentially compensate for areas of weakness.
Well, Anthony, one of the things I read is that perhaps the beam could also be used for these drones, which have certain kind of evasion technologies that's making life difficult for the Iron Dome. So perhaps that is an area where this beam will be useful. I always tell people that when I was growing up, there was this like book that I had, this cartoon book that was, this is going to be the future of warfare. And in it had a big picture of like rockets flying up and other rockets flying up and laser beams. And when I was a kid, I thought, no, this actually seems unrealistic. It's like very science fiction-y. But actually, you know, there you are. You have rockets being fired, being shot out the air, and literally lasers out of Star Wars that is the forefront of modern warfare.
The future is here, and that's the way that warfare is being conducted these days. And as you rightly point out, drones are a very big component of current warfare, and our ability to intercept those drones and to prevent them from coming into our space is, of course, a very, very important part of our defense system.
But of course, all eyes, as you say, are on the hostage release today. Anthony, what are we expecting, and when are we expecting it?
So we don't know exactly when all of this is going to take place, but just to remind listeners, the last hostage release took place over the weekend on Shabbat. And we were expecting to see Arbel Yehud, who is a civilian female hostage, and she was supposed to be one of the priorities, one of the first ones to be released. So when our three soldiers returned home safely on Saturday, and the Israeli government stood up and said, hang on a second, the soldiers were really supposed to be a lower level of priority than the civilians, and Arbel falls into the highest level of priority, and she wasn't released. So the Israeli government actually stopped the next stage of what they were supposed to do, which was to allow Gazan residents to move through the crossing into the north of Gaza, and that was all stopped because Arbel was not released. And then ultimately it was agreed that a new additional hostage release date would be set for today. And we now understand that the three Israeli hostages who are due to be released are indeed Arbel Yehud. We've received sign of life from her. It's also going to be Agam Berger, who is also a soldier, and we hope would be released with the other soldiers, but Agam will be released today. And we also understand that the male civilian who will be released is not Keith Siegel, as I had said a few times earlier this week, but indeed it's going to be Gadi Moses. Gadi Moses is 8 years old. He is a resident of kibbutz in the south of Israel. He was kidnapped from his kibbutz. He's actually quite a well-known person as an agronomist, and he's well-known for his knowledge of agriculture. And who would think that a person could celebrate their 80th birthday while in captivity, as Gadi did earlier this year? Gadi, interestingly, was a very outspoken activist for peace, trying to help to advocate for Palestinian rights and for peace from his kibbutz where he lived in the south. He was kidnapped and he is to be released today. So my expectation is that Gadi is probably not in such great health and such great physical condition. And we, of course, hope that he will still be strong enough to be able to recover and recuperate from his ordeal. We know that Agam is extremely strong, and she's been one of those who's been very opposed to the captors that she has been held by. She's been one of those who's really militated against the regime that she's been held under. And one of the things that I've said a few times this week is that she's tried to maintain her faith by observing Shabbat even while in captivity and refusing to cook for her captors who have demanded that she cook for them. And she has done so, but not on Shabbat. She's tried to observe Shabbat. So she's definitely been one of the peaks of the resistance against the captors in Gaza. And we understand that she has a very, very strong constitution. She's also the girl who is famous for braiding the hair of the other female hostages before they were released. When they came out with neatly braided hair. We understand that Agam was responsible for that. And we also hope that Arbel will be in good shape. Alongside the three Israeli hostages will be five Thai foreign workers who were working on the kibbutz in the south and were kidnapped from their work, from the fields, from the kibbutzim on October the 7th. Some of the foreign workers were already released, but we expect that another five Thai foreign workers will be released. I know a lot of people are thinking about the Bibas family, because they should really have been the highest priority in terms of releasing. Shiri, of course, a civilian female, and her two children, Kfir and Ariel. It goes without saying that children under the age of five should certainly be of the highest priority. And we understand that the Israeli government has asked for an update about the status of the Bibas family. It's interesting that the government hasn't stood up and militated against them not having been released up until now, as they did, for example, with Arbel. And the question is, why did the Israeli government not stop the whole process and say, until the Bibas family are released, they should be the highest priority, we're not going to continue? They didn't do that. And unfortunately, that leads me to fear for the worst outcome as far as the Bibas family are concerned. But we do understand that the Israeli government has officially asked to be given a proper, accurate description of the current situation relating to Shiri, to Ariel, and to Kfir Bibas, who remain in Gaza's captivity.
Yeah, thank you for that update. That's very helpful, Anthony. We have a question in from Laura, who's saying, well, okay, if we've now moved on to people like Gadi, of course, we were talking about Keith, who's the husband of the South African that was taken. If male hostages are coming out now, does that mean that we are no longer going to see, that we've come to the sort of quote-unquote the end of the list for female hostages?
Well, we only are missing at the moment Arbel, Agam, and Shiri. They are the three females who are still unaccounted for out of all of those who were kidnapped on October the 7th. So the simple answer to the question is yes, that's the end of the female hostages, providing we can get some update about Shiri, then that will be that. So yes, we're now moving on to the next key group of hostages to be released, which is the elderly and those who are not in such good medical condition. Those were the next on the list in terms of the priority of those being released. And of course, Gadi, being 80 years old, falls quite neatly into that category. And I hope that Keith will also be released soon enough. Just to remind listeners that another hostage release moment will be taking place on Saturday, as was originally planned. So this Thursday today is not instead of Saturday, but in addition to Saturday. We don't yet know of how many people who will be released on Saturday or who they are. But let's also remember that as part of these releases, we're expecting not only people who are alive, but we're indeed hoping and expecting to receive the bodies of some of those who have been killed either on October the 7th and their bodies were kidnapped, or have been killed since they went into captivity, of which there are a few like that. So the releases, the upcoming releases, are not all going to be as happy as the ones that we've seen up until now. We're still going to be in for some tough times ahead.
Absolutely. And then just a word before we end, Anthony, on the on the Palestinian prisoners, the various terrorists that are going to be, is that going to be done simultaneously as the hostages come through?
Correct. So what usually happens is that first of all, the preparation work that's going on in the background, not only for the receipt of our hostages, but indeed for the release of the prisoners within Israeli prisons, is probably already well underway as we speak. And just to remind listeners that for each civilian hostage release, we have agreed to release from our prisons 30 Palestinian prisoners. And for each soldier who is released from Gaza, we've agreed to release 50 prisoners. So on the basis of the three Israelis who will be released today, one of whom is a soldier and two of whom are civilians, that equals 110 Palestinian prisoners who will be released from our prisons. Some of them with blood on their hands, some of them have committed heinous acts of terror and acts of crime against us who've been held in prisons for some time. But we are emptying our jails in order to receive our own people back. That is the way that we value this. And I know that it's a highly controversial action. I personally feel that we need to do whatever we can to bring our people home, whether they be dead or alive. And if it means emptying our jails, so be it. The process is that as soon as the hostages are released into Israeli hands, messages sent to the prison to release the prisoners and to allow them to go. We have no idea where the 110 prisoners are going to go to today, whether it will be Gaza or the Palestinian Authority area or indeed elsewhere. We will follow that as it takes place later today.
Well, there you go. Thank you so much, Anthony Reich, bringing us this very important story of the hostages on the Israel Report. We'll chat to you again tomorrow, slightly later on the news, with Lindy Winkwanazi.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.